has allowed our paths to cross several times a year for I don't know how many years now.
Quite a few.
And even after we went to Thailand, Dave comes over to Thailand. He was there several times while we were there. And I just love Dave's heart. He said last night he loves people and he loves the Lord. I think tonight we're going to hear about some of your experiences. And so we've got a lot in common. But I did spare you the confusion and intentionally put on a different color and set of clothes than Dave so you don't get the two of us confused. So we pray. Heavenly Father, we bow at your holy presence. Thank you that we can come to you and call you Father.
Yes.
Thank you for your incessant longing to come and be
Lord.
With us. And tonight, Lord, we open our hearts and our minds to you, our ears to what you have, for what you have to share with us. And Father, I pray that you would draw us closer to your heart. And I pray for Dave, our brother, as he shares from your heart, from your word to us, through his experiences even. May you be glorified. May we be drawn closer to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing just a couple verses of Come Gracious Spirit, Heavenly Dove. By the way, I have really sensed the Spirit's presence with us tonight. So let's sing that. Come Gracious Spirit, Heavenly Dove, with light and comfort from above. Be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside, o'er every thought and step preside. The light of truth to us display, and make us know and choose thy way. Plant holy fear in every heart, that we from God may ne'er depart. That we from God may ne'er depart. I told Steve last night, I said, people here must love each other. I often get a bit of an impression of a church the first time I'm there. And I just want to bless you. I saw you sharing with each other after the service, and it seemed like you enjoyed being together. And that really was an encouragement to me. And I also just sensed a yearning and desire for God to speak to us and to minister to our hearts. And that's certainly my desire, that God would be able to touch our lives in personal ways, draw us close to himself. I was just sitting here tonight reflecting on how great of a God we serve. And if you remember last night, we talked about the good news of the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. And I want you to know you can trust God, and you can trust the power of God in your life. And tonight, we're going to go back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 is our text for the message. And Paul says this, he said, I would have you understand, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now the ESV says this, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. I have a question. What do you do with the things that have happened to you? As you're sitting here tonight, I want you just to reflect back a bit on your life and think about some of the things that have happened to you. And I ask this question, what does one do with the things that have happened? Things not planned. Things maybe not anticipated. Things that you have not asked for. Things that you don't deserve. Things that have been hard to understand and accept. Sunday evening, Sterling Lake, Ontario. I'm visiting with some of the students. We're getting ready for a gospel team. Don Showalter comes to me and he says, Dave, I'd like you to come down into my office. And I had not been in Don's office that much. And I thought it rather strange that on a worship service, he would ask me to come down to his office. We get down to his office. He says, Dave, I want you to sit down. And he said this. He said, you're going to be going home a lot sooner than what you anticipated. Your family was in a serious automobile accident. Your two brothers have been killed. And your mom and dad are in serious condition. And the world in which I was then living was turned upside down in a moment. I remember the surrealness of walking out of the chapel that night and Ellie, realizing that Ellie didn't know anything about what had happened, and then sharing with her. By the way, this community kind of connects with that. I don't know if you can understand, but Freeman and Rhoda Mollett drove us from Sterling Lake through the night to Dryden. He would not let me drive. The northern lights were beautiful that night. And they saw us all the way to the airport. And I can still, as we got on the plane and being a melancholy, I was sure the plane would crash and we'd probably die too. I could remember looking out the window and I can see the expression today yet on Freeman and Rhoda's face, their love and concern. I asked the question tonight, what do you do with the things that have happened to you? And you know, as young people, we have dreams about life. We have goals. We have ideals about what life should be and could be. But I know the reality is that for some of us sitting here, God's going to take us down paths that we never would have chosen. I know what it is to look in the mirror and wonder, God, why did you make me this way? I know what it is to read my history and want to blame my grandparents. My grandfather came from this community, by the way. And sometimes in life, you just wonder about the things that happen. Some of you sitting here tonight are probably carrying crosses that very few people know anything about. Walking down pathways that are difficult. Do I realize that our responses to those things that happen to us say a lot about our concept of the gospel of Jesus Christ? At the funeral of my two brothers, my uncle who was sitting in front of me, he gets up. And the amazing thing was, you've heard this expression, that God's grace is available to you when you need it. But he turned around and he said, Dave, He said, it's just not fair. And I could detect the anger in his voice for what had happened to my two brothers. My parents were not able to be at the funeral. But what amazed me, I thought about the grace of God that walks with us through some of the most difficult circumstances that a person can face in life. And I'm amazed again at the power of the gospel. Let me just say, I hope if I don't get anything across that you realize that the gospel is good news and the gospel is something that is lived out in your life every day. It's not something you can just stick in your pocket or in your purse and turn it in at judgment day as a ticket to heaven. But it is something that is critical for living every day of your life, and particularly with the things that happen to us in life. So our response to the things that happen to us say a good bit about our understanding of the good news. And we looked at the Apostle Paul. Think about this. I find this incredible. He's been accused unjustly. He's arrested and he's in prison for no real crime. He was shipwrecked on his journey to Rome. And he's in bonds and shackles, and he's awaiting trial. But what do you see? What do you see in his attitude and in his response as he's there in that situation? Some time ago, I was reading the account of the 12 spies, and I found something very interesting. You remember Moses told them to go search out the land. They had a specific command to do. They were to go search and view the land. They were to evaluate the inhabitants of the land, whether they were strong or weak. They were to find out whether there were many of them or few of them. Is it a good land or is it a bad land? That was another question. Are the cities like a camp or are they like a stronghold? Is the land rich or poor? Bring back some fruit. Kind of a show and tell. You know what? They did exactly what Moses asked them to do. They did what they were told. They obeyed the command. But I would ask you, what was their attitude? What was their response? We can't do this. The people are way too strong. The cities are too fortified and big. There are giants there, and we were just like grasshoppers in their sight. And you know what? That evil response affected the whole congregation so that the people refused to go take the land. But what do you see in the Apostle Paul? Self-pity? Poor me? Which would be my response. Sometimes Ellie, she's a good wife. She'll look at me and she says, Dave, all you think about is your problems and yourself. How's that for her? Now, she knows when to do that and when not to do, and when not to do that. But our natures are very different. She told me one time, she said, you got the most amazing landscape of anyone I know. She said, one day you're up on the mountain, and the next day you're down in the valley. She said, I'm just an endless plateau or prairie. That pretty much describes her. She's just the same today, yesterday, and forever. But you see, the Apostle Paul, what most people would see as a catastrophe, what most people would see as not something good. In fact, Paul says this, These things have fallen out. That means brought about, or they caused to happen. It's like it's a domino effect. And I just venture to say there are people here tonight that have gone through circumstances that have tested and tried their faith, and others have watched their response and have been challenged and encouraged in their walk with the Lord. But he says it's like a domino effect. It's like the night I was sleeping at SMBI. And some of the girls wanted to wake the boys up. So they set up chairs in a domino kind of arrangement across the gym from the girls' dorm to the boys' dorm, hoping to wake the guys up. I don't think they woke the guys up, but they woke Brother Dave up. 3:30 in the morning, I heard this clatter and bang. I thought the Lord was coming. I didn't know if the Lord came back or what happened. You know, you're just kind of frozen in space. And I'm like, what was that? Eventually, I got nerve to venture out to see what it was. And I saw chairs strewn all over the gym floor. We got them back later on. The guys did. I helped them. We played basketball at 3:30 in the morning. That was fun. We had teams all chosen up. I watched the student ask Harry Brenneman whether we could do this. And we got up and had our teams chosen, and we turned the lights on and went yelling and screaming, full tilt playing basketball in the gym right next to the girls' dorm. And I don't think any of them stayed sleeping through that. They tried to come out and steal the basketball from me. We did about 15 minutes, then went back to bed. What most people saw, are you listening? What most people saw as a catastrophe, the Apostle Paul saw as an opportunity. By the way, I just want to encourage our hearts this morning. You know what? We're concerned about the end result of our lives. And particularly here in America, we're concerned about security, we're concerned about comfort and ease, and we have expectations of the Christian life that have come to us. But I want you to tell you something. God often gets the most glory and the most power out of the difficult experiences that are a part of our journey of faith. He's just as concerned about the process that you're going through, even right now, as what you are about the end result of that experience. And the Apostle Paul saw it as an opportunity. You talk about a winning attitude and confidence in God's plan. And I know you can say, sometimes I do this. I say, well, that was the Apostle Paul. He was special. He was this great man of God. But what about me? I'm not the Apostle Paul. I'm not someone like him. And yet I would say to us that God cares. And you know what? If you look around and you watch your brothers and sisters in Christ, you will see the same thing that we see in this passage of Scripture. You will see it being played out. I've watched Christians who faced unexpected tragedies, twists and turns in life. Christians whose lives have been turned upside down with difficult circumstances. Christians whose closest friends have turned against them, seemingly. And you know what? This is what excites me. They have found a way to be faithful. In fact, you know, when everything's going well, everyone's on board. It can be this way with church. It can be this way with life. But that's not the true test of faithfulness. Faithfulness is seen when everything goes south, when everything is upside down, our responses in those moments really determine and depict whether or not we are faithful. So my view of faithfulness has really changed through the years. And let me just say, I've been inspired many times by Christians who, against the most insurmountable odds, have found a way to take the next step. Don't you just love that? To move forward in the grace and the power of God. And I just want to say, God can be trusted. God is a faithful God. His grace will help a person through the worst of circumstances. I know what that's like. To just wish that God would somehow show up in my situation. I used to have my little orange van, and I'd be sitting in the woods crying and praying out to God, and sometimes I'd look over in the passenger seat and I would just visualize Jesus sitting there, and I'd say, Jesus, if you could somehow let me know that you're here with me, I think I can get through this. The gospel is such good news. Apostle Paul's in prison. He said, the things that have happened unto me have fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel. It's an amazing concept that we can learn from. So let me read verses 12 through 26. Very interesting. I would have you understand that the things which have happened have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds, get this, my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, some of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, means to provoke or to cause strife or to get under your skin, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love. And then notice what Paul says. What then, he says? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And then he says this verse where he says, you know what? He's saying it doesn't really matter. As long as Christ is magnified in my body, either by life or by death. By the way, sometimes that means for us that Christ is magnified through our suffering, through our crosses, through things that we would have never chosen. What's your concept of wholeness? Would your concept of wholeness include a handicapped child? Would your concept of wholeness include struggles with depression? Would your concept of wholeness include the circumstance that you least desire in your journey of faith? Something to think about. What is wholeness in God's economy as contrasted to what wholeness is in our economy or in our thinking? And I would suggest tonight, brothers and sisters, that there's a pretty big difference between the two. I think in heaven there's going to be a lot of surprises. I really do. I think some of the people that we thought had it in this life, some of the people that we thought that was success, I think in heaven, probably not so much. And some of the things we look down on here in this life and we kind of cast aside as being unimportant or not making that much of an impact, I think in heaven we're going to discover true value. And let me just encourage our hearts and say that some of the crosses that people have carried in life brings tremendous glory to God. And though it may not seem like wholeness to us, I think being able to come to a place of accepting those crosses and trusting God with those crosses is a tremendous blessing to us. The word furtherance means to advance the cause, to move forward one step at a time, to move forward $1 at a time. I had to put that in there. To move forward with one letter, one hand on the shoulder at a time. How many of you know what it feels like to have a hand on the shoulder? I can still feel my bishop's hand on my shoulder as a young person and saying, Dave, how's it going for you? You know what? We don't even realize most times what we can do for each other and what we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, a word of encouragement goes a tremendous distance in our relationships. So in our human responses, being in bonds doesn't seem like it's fitting with success. It doesn't seem like it's getting a lot done for Christ, or it doesn't seem like it's expanding the kingdom with achieving one's goals for life. And remember last night we said, he that hath begun a good work in you. This is what I like. See, you don't know what that good work is. I don't know what that good work is. I have ideas about what that good work should be in my life. But how do I know what that good work really is in the eyes of God? God knows what will bring glory to him in our lives, and he helps us walk through that journey. Three things about the gospel. Guess what? First of all, the gospel perseveres. The gospel, we could say, prospers. The gospel perseveres through personal circumstances of our lives. For Paul, it was prison, it was bonds, it was arrest, it was unjust accusations. For us, it may be tragedies, financial setbacks, undeserved circumstances, broken relationships and hurts, misunderstandings. And for all of these, Paul would say the gospel was having a powerful impact. Manifest throughout the palace and in all other places, motivating others to share the gospel. Received a phone call one night from a sister in our church. She said, Dave, could you come over? Her husband, one day at work, and get this, as she was taking the children to school, they stopped at the end of the lane, felt a urgency to pray for her husband's safety. They stopped at the end of the lane on the way to school and prayed for dad's safety. Came on to school, and it wasn't long I got a phone call from the mother-in-law of this man. And she said, Dave, Noah just took a fall and is being transported to Baltimore Hospital. He was electrocuted and fell about 20 feet, landing, hitting his head. Suffered a brain injury that changed his personality. One of the toughest things I've ever had to deal with a pastor. I got this call from her one day. She said, could you come over? In the meantime, one of her sons had developed cancer in his leg. He had 13 surgeries. And I came over to their place, and she was in one chair, and the twin boys were in separate chairs. And I went up to the son who had had the 13 surgeries, and he looked up at me, just a young boy, he's probably about 11 or 12. He looked at me, and with tears in his eyes, he said, "Dave, I want to ask a question. Is Satan winning?" How would you answer that? You know what? I don't recall that I answered that. But sometime later, when he was singing with our youth group in front of church, I went to him after the service and I said to him, "I want you to know something. Satan is not winning." What do you do? Let me say, and I watched this family go through this process, and they're all serving the Lord today, but the gospel perseveres through personal circumstances, regardless of how difficult those circumstances may be. That blesses me. There's an assurance there that nothing can come into my life, but that God won't give grace and strength to walk through that experience. How does God want to use our personal circumstances, the things we're facing that are hard? Paul says in verse 20, "In nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death." What would it take to shut the gospel down in your life? I am told that Mennonites in Ukraine, I don't know if you've seen the documentary, "And When They Shall Ask," but when the revolution took place over there and the Mennonites saw their places, their daughters raped, their farms destroyed, I'm told that some of them shook their fist at God and said, "If this is the way you're going to treat me." I remember some of the struggle that Brother Val Yoder went through with some of the things he went through, and the questions, "God, is this the way you treat people who are trying to serve you?" What would it take to shut the gospel down in your life? To cause you to turn your back and to go for plan B. That says a lot about our commitment. You know what, people? I don't know what to do with the inequities of life. As a boy growing up, my dad used to say, "Life's not fair, get over it." Well, we thought it could be a little more fair. I thought it could be a little more fair. My sister went to LMH, and I didn't get to go. I had to help support the family. Do I still have, does it sound like I have a chip on my shoulder? I don't think I do, but anyway. Life's not fair. And you watch some families and some people go through one thing after another. And after a while, you're ready to tell God, you're ready to say, "God, when is enough enough?" And other people float through life. How do you explain that? What do you do with the things that are a part of one's journey of faith? The second thing, and I need to hurry. I'm time conscious. I just have to tell you. If you're a Yoder and you had as many uncles as I did who reminded you, it's just hard for me to keep going. I do keep going sometimes, but second thing, the gospel perseveres through the insincere responses of others. Paul said, "Some preach Christ out of envy and strife. Some out of goodwill, some out of contention." That means to provoke or to quarrel, to be divisive. You know, some people just know how to pull your trigger. It's like the guy in school. He was amazing. I was big and clumsy, He was small and fast and strong. He loved to run circles around me on the basketball court, and he loved to let me know it. And one day we're out on the playground, he grabbed me and actually picked me upside down, as I recall the incident. Guess what? I didn't feel too favorable towards that guy. Until one day, we went into the restroom at GMS, and he said, Dave, he said, I need to apologize to you for the way I've been treating you. Something just kind of washed off in his response. Paul says the gospel perseveres through the insincere responses of others. Pretense, some hoping to pressure and crowd you, burden you, get back at you. As we know, the responses in life are not all the same. People don't always sing your praises. Some people will hurt you deeply. In fact, I would say to us that most times, the deepest hurts come to us within the context of brotherhood, people that we care about and love deeply. That's where it's the most difficult for us. How did Paul do it? You know what I think? He never lost sight of the Damascus Road. He never lost sight of the light and the voice and the call. He never lost sight of the good news of the gospel. And he refused to let the circumstances and he refused to let the responses of people dictate his purpose and his responses. It's amazing. And the third and last thing is the gospel perseveres even through your personal desires. You ever wanted to ask God, God, did you think about asking me about this before you brought this to me? Did you ever consider whether I wanted this or not? Couldn't have you at least have asked my opinion about this circumstance in my life? Paul says, you know, and it's interesting, he said, you know what? I have a choice. He said, I would rather depart and be with Christ. That was Paul's personal desire. But you know what he says? He said, it's needful for you, and it's better for you that I remain. Isn't that amazing? The gospel perseveres even through our own personal desires and longings. So the question we get back to over and over again, what does God want? We're mostly concerned with what we want. But what does God want for my life? What's His purpose in the things that come across my path? How would He have me respond in those situations? And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. I'm not speaking out of a vacuum tonight. I'm speaking out of some deep waters. Times where I didn't know if God was going to come through or not. But I want to testify that you can trust God. Despite everything, God is faithful. He knows your name. He knows what you're going through. He understands the deep waters that no one else really knows and understands. And I'll tell you this, God cares deeply about that. And what's more, the gospel has the power to redeem the worst of circumstances and situations in life. I love the song. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my strength. Another song. My faith has found the resting place, not in device or creed. Creeds and devices are nice, maybe. But when you're at the bottom, you need a person. That's why we need each other, but we need Christ. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Oh, that we had such a grasp on Jesus, such a faith in Jesus, such a confidence in the gospel that circumstances could come and go, people's opinions and comments would not shake us. I have to be one of those kinds of persons where people's comments can shake me, or where I'm affected. Maybe you're that kind of a person. Some people let it roll off. I don't let it roll off very easy. I wish I did. Whether life or death, personal desires, it would not change or control our commitment. You know what Paul said? You gotta love this. He said, I have learned. He didn't say, I just get there. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. My grandfather, in his moment of humor, said, well, the Apostle Paul was never in the state of Delaware. He did. My grandfather lived in Delaware, but he didn't think Delaware was a great state to be in. So he would say he never lived in that state. He which hath begun, this means a lot to me. He which hath begun a good work in you. You know what, brother, sister? God's not going to leave you sit halfway to the finish line. He which hath begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Circumstances, situations come and go, but his gospel, the good news, is the power of God to help you walk through those situations. I feel led just tonight to maybe, I love the songs we sang before, maybe there's some, but if there's, here's what I was thinking. If you're here tonight and you're facing circumstances in your life at the present time that you find to be a real challenge, and you just feel a need for support in prayer, I would just like to invite you to come forward as we sing, and then we'll have a time of just praying together that God will give grace and strength for your particular circumstance and journey of faith. It's a way of driving a stake in my mind. It's a way of saying, God, here I am. I need you. I don't know how to handle what I'm going through in a good way, but I'm opening myself up to your ministry and your blessing in my life. So let's stand together, and where's our piano player? I should know his name. He's Steve, Matt, Pat, come up here and lead us in that song. Is he here? Oh, there he is. If we could just sing together the one about surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. And if God is speaking to your heart and you just feel that need to come forward as a way of expressing your commitment to stand firm in the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would just invite you, as we sing together, just make your way to the front, and then we'll have a prayer together as a way of just committing our lives and our circumstances, our situations to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a wonderful Savior, a wonderful Lord, and a wonderful friend to walk through those situations. So, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender. I surrender all to at His feet. I bow, earthly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender Savior, I surrender all.
We'll do the third verse, all to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, holy God.
All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, holy thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit, truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all, I surrender all to Jesus. Blessed Savior, I surrender all. I feel like the Lord is speaking to our hearts. Let's sing the first verse again. And if God is speaking to your hearts, I would just encourage you to respond to Him, His call in your life. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. What a tremendous God we serve. And I'm sure for all of us standing here tonight, in some way or another, we've been affected by the truth of God's Word. And I would just encourage us, let's be supportive of each other. Let's walk beside each other in the circumstances of life. Let's be truly brothers and sisters and care for one another in the body of Christ like Jesus has commanded us to do so. What a tremendous opportunity and blessing that is. And I'd like to close with a closing prayer tonight. Father, we thank You from the bottom of our hearts for Jesus, our Savior, His willingness to come down and identify with us and to give His life. Thank You for each one tonight, whatever the circumstance that they may be facing in their life. in their coming forward, Lord, would you give to them grace and courage? Would you make a way through the darkness, through the wilderness? Would you protect them from Satan and from the accusations that he brings? May you also give to them renewed vision and strength to be able to walk faithfully in the place where you've called them. Thank you for the brotherhood and the blessing of walking beside each other. So would you bless us now as we're dismissed? Keep us in your grace and in your love. Help us to honor you with our lives and help us to really encourage and lift each other up. Go with us and give us a good night, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.